by Frederick Buckner. And you know, the whole purpose of his book is to just slow you down, make you think and look around at things going on around you. And when you do, you experience things that maybe you never experienced before. You know, the first time things may look differently. And you ever take time to just look at things, pay attention to things? You know, stopping for a moment to see things that sometimes the lack of time and how busy our lives are sometimes prevents us from doing. You know, looking at things that at a quick glance that you would have probably missed. You know, I remember here a while back there was this praying mantis out on the sunflowers out right out from the kitchen window. And man, they're mean looking creatures, aren't they? This was a great big one. And I just watched him, you know, but Leanne was like, oh, you got to get him out of there. He was after the bees, you know. And so to save the bees, I had to go and get rid of the praying mantis and put him out into the field. But, you know, just watching God's creation, just taking a moment to just stop what I'm doing and look at God's creation it's amazing the colors that birds have and the bees, how perfect they are. And you look at the sunflowers and how perfectly they were designed and the bees doing what they do. And then, of course, you got the evil praying mantis over here trying to, you know, get in the way of everything. But it has a purpose as well. God has this purpose and this plan. And sometimes we miss all that because we get so busy in our lives. And, you know, missing the sunrises. I know some people don't like to get up so early. But in the mornings when I get up to take Winston outside, you know, sometimes I get up, usually it's before the sunrise, and I get to watch these beautiful sunrises. You know, and if you don't like to get up early, then watch the sunset. You know, it's just beautiful sometimes. You just sit back and watch. You know, looking from the heart, praying, paying attention to every detail to this complex world that God has created. You know, we were at the Christmas celebration downtown. We went down there to just kind of walk around. Leanne wanted to go down there. And, you know, we'd see people. You get to see people that you sometimes haven't saw in a long time. And they walk by and, hey, how you doing? You know. And I know sometimes we just want to keep walking on by. You know, it's just kind of, hey, how you doing? But, you know, I like to stop and really with concern, really see how they're really doing. You know, you ever stop to do that? You know, I know we just get so busy sometimes. We got our agenda and our things going on that we don't even stop to listen to the concerns that people have. When we ask them, how you doing? And we just keep on walking by, you know. We greet each other like that all the time, don't we? You know, I love to listen to the birds and the animals in the woods. And, you know, you ever listen to a clock ticking? You know, we got a clock in our living room that ticks, but you don't hear it during the day. You can go about your business all through the house if you're there, or even in the evenings when we're there, maybe the TV's on, or maybe you're just talking and just going on, and you never hear that clock. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you're sitting in a recliner, man, that clock sounds so loud. Tick, tick, tick. And I think that's how God is speaking to us sometimes. We get so busy in our life that we don't hear God's voice ticking until we slow down and get real quiet, and then we hear that small, still voice ticking, talking, telling us what He wants us to do and helping us in our daily life. You know, with the Lord's help, we can experience Christmas in a fresh and new creative way. You know, I really believe that that's what Advent is designed to do for the believer. You know, we have to decide whether we want to take time to really focus, take that energy and really focus on what the purpose of it really is all about. I pray that God gives us a new perspective to slow us down a little bit and say, you know, I'm excited about Christmas. Why? Not because I might get a present, but because I'm expecting Christ to do something amazing. I'm expecting Him to come again. Amen. You know, Jesus is coming. I mean, does that excite you when you hear that Jesus is coming? He is coming. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the light to this dark world. And this long-expected Jesus in the old times would change the world. He would make life better for the Israel. You know, Jesus is coming again for us. And, you know, over 700 years before the physical Jesus would walk on this earth, God had this beautiful plan. And if we look at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 19 and 20, it says, "From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere His glory. For He will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord." And that's what it was to Isaiah in his day. And to us, if we look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Peter said there, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." This promise belongs to you and to your children and to all who are far off. Amen? You hear that? This plan, you know, this plan for mankind is the Redeemer is coming. He was coming then and He's coming again today. The Redeemer coming would be a witness, talked about in Isaiah 54. The Redeemer coming would provide salvation in Isaiah 59:15. The Redeemer coming would be an intercessor between God and man in Isaiah 59:15. The Redeemer coming would have the Spirit of God upon Him in Isaiah 61:1. The Redeemer coming would provide freedom from sin and death in Isaiah 61. The Redeemer coming would provide a period of grace in Isaiah 61 again. The Redeemer coming would be resurrected by God in Isaiah 53. And these things have all been fulfilled. The Redeemer's name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, what He did then, He's going to do again, and He's going to come back for His people. Here, for the nation of Israel and for the prophet Isaiah, it was an anticipation of the Redeemer coming and being prepared to welcome Him in when He comes. You know, the excitement of the Redeemer coming. Are you excited about that this morning? The fulfillment of the promise of God, are you excited about that? The recognition of knowing Him when He arrives. Amen. Isaiah never saw the Lord in his lifetime, but he patiently waited with anticipation. And even though Isaiah never saw the Redeemer come, he never lost his faith. And he never lost the hope that He was coming. It was a promise that He lived, breathed, and died. And the fact does not change because he did not see it. It just was not in His timing. It was in God's timing. We have all kinds of proof that Jesus lived and died and was resurrected. At His resurrection, He promised to come back and receive those that have put their faith in the Redeemer. You know, hope is something gained by putting your trust in something. You put your trust in Jesus this morning? Hope is lost when what you do put your trust in is failed. Or you have lost your faith in what will happen. You know, this first candle of Advent, that we're going to light here in just a minute, is the candle of hope. The hope that Jesus is going to return again for His people. The hope for the believers here this morning. And if you're a believer here this morning, you have that hope that Jesus is coming again. This morning, Jesse's going to come. We light this candle with the anticipation of the coming Christ. It's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, with anticipation of Your return, Lord. Just as Isaiah had anticipated You coming, Lord, to save His people, Lord, we anticipate You coming. We're excited, Lord, of Your return. Lord, bless us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So here we are today, 2,000 years later, and we're waiting for our Redeemer to return. You know, the difference is that we do not have to wonder if our Redeemer will return. Because He promised He would, and we believe that, right, this morning? We just got to figure out, you know, how we're going to live our life as we're waiting, right? You know, we just have to figure out how we live as we wait in this anticipation and dedication and obedience so that we're ready for the Redeemer to come. Are you ready this morning? You know, hope, biblical hope is faith in God. You know, it's the foundation of the hope. Amen? You got a hope in Jesus this morning. If you've got hope in God, then we have this foundation, okay? In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Godly hope brings more hope. And godly hope is not uncertain hope, but godly hope is certainty in God doing what He said He would do. And preparation and anticipation sometimes are hard things to live by. You know, there are some who prepare and are ready, and they have everything organized. They're ready to go. Amen? Then there are those that are procrastinators, and they have every intention of doing it, but it never seems to be the right time for them. You know, this unpreparedness, I see, can turn to a form of complacency and sometimes even laziness, we could call it. And I think, can I say that? I think sometimes we have a lot of lazy Christians in this world. They're complacent. They've lost faith. They've lost this anticipation of the coming Christ. They've lost this excitement about who the Redeemer really is. We lose faith in what will happen if we become complacent and lazy. We forget about what we have hope in when that happens. I see so many people living that life. They claim to be Christians, but then it's like they have no faith and they have no hope and they just live this life as a roller coaster life. You know, sometimes I think we procrastinate because we think we got forever. But I think all of us know that we don't have forever here. The older I get, the more I realize that. When I was a kid, you know, I was heard many messages that were preached of hellfire and brimstone that scared me into believing that Jesus would come back at any second. and that if I wasn't just right with him, that I was destined for hell for sure. You know, and it seemed like that if you were doing something wrong at that moment, you'd miss heaven. And some people could serve God for 50 years and say a bad word to somebody and they were headed straight for hell. Boy, that's the way it made you feel, you know. I've heard many messages like that. And even though there is truth in that, there is some truth in that. But it really misleads us from the side of God's grace that brings the hope. What I'm saying is that Jesus understands our weaknesses. He knows who we are. He knows without Him, without the cross, we couldn't make it to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it was all about. I think that we have to be careful and we must never forget God's grace and God's mercy, because only Jesus saves and only Jesus is the judge of our lives. Amen? We're here to love each other and help each other, pray for each other. I'm thankful for a God who forgives and forgets. Amen? Remember that. We have a God that is our Redeemer that forgives and He forgets. Sometimes we want to try to remember those things and dwell on those things in the past. And Jesus is like, what are you talking about? I done forgave you for that. Quit worrying about it. I got you. Amen? Isn't that wonderful to know? Christ is our hope. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We must not forget that. You know, if our hope is not in Him, then it's on our own goodness and our own accomplishments. And all that will be just placed at the feet of Jesus in filthy rags. We have a choice this morning. We can take the time to stop and look and listen so we don't miss the things that are important in our spiritual lives, our everyday life, and even to make sure that we're ready should the Lord return today. And He could. He could return today. I think that's why Paul said, I'll go back a little bit, it's why Paul said, I die daily. He had to get up every day and repent and give up those things that would hold him back. He had to be prepared spiritually. Take that time to say, I need to be prepared. Because today may be the day. It may take my life today, but Paul also said, if I live, I live for Christ. And if I die, I die for Christ. How many of us can say that this morning? How many of us can say that this morning, truthfully? You know, there's not one of us, including me, there's not one of us here this morning that will be able to stand before the Lord and tell Him that we were not ready, that we were unprepared for His coming. You know, I believe one of the Advent scriptures that should be read every year is Mark chapter 13. Very important scripture. Verses 24 through 37. It says, but in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And He will send His angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near. Right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, and each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. You know, Jesus is saying here, written in red letters, a warning to the disciples and to us today to be ready. And the best way to prepare for His return is to follow His teachings. Amen?
Amen.
Not to put off the things that are important with an attitude that one day I'll take care of it later. There will come a day that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will return for His bride. Amen? And it will be absolutely amazing, I believe, that time. I'm so excited for that. I don't know if I'll get to see it in my lifetime. But that's what my excitement, that's where I am, that's who I am. I don't even know how to explain it sometimes. It's just like coming to church. I get excited when I come to church. You get excited coming to church? I say that a lot. But I do. But I'm also excited about what Jesus is going to do one of these days when He comes back for His church, when He comes back for us. Man, that's exciting to know He's going to take us out of this world that we live in today that is becoming worse and worse all the time. I know there's the unknown, and we do not know. We don't know when. Nobody does, not the angels, only God the Father. And the Father will tell His Son to go get the bride. Amen. We got to be prepared. Every day, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives, we serve our God and love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our minds and with all our strength, while striving to serve our neighbors and our families around us with love. Amen. Being prepared takes focus, though. We got to focus. We got to take our focus off ourselves and put it on Him. This morning, we have an opportunity as a church, as an individual, to regain our faith in the fact that Jesus Christ will come again. He will come for you. We have an opportunity right now this morning to regain that joy, that expectation, that excitement in what Christmas is really all about. You know, I want to believe that the God of the universe would love each and every one of us enough that He'd want a relationship with us. Amen? That's what He desires. God's ways are higher than our ways. And I'm going to tell you something. God does what He says He'll do. Amen? He says He's going to come back. And let me tell you, He's going to come back. He's going to come back for His people. You know, in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We celebrate that. He went to the cross and He was resurrected, and we are thankful that He left this earth and His Holy Spirit was given to each and every one of us. Amen. The Holy Spirit was given to help us, to guide us, to direct us, so that we could be ready and prepared. He gave to the churches, each, the apostles. He gave the Scripture. He gave teachers and preachers. He gave all these to the church. Why? To prepare us. That's why we come together here. It's not just to hear me or you get entertained. Amen? If I'm just an entertainer, then I don't want to do this job anymore. I'm here simply to help prepare. not only myself, but each and every one of you, so that we can be ready when Christ comes. Whatever day that is, whether it's today, tomorrow, or whenever it is, I want to be ready. I want to be excited about that. I'm not afraid if Christ comes today. Amen?
Amen.
Because I've accepted Him, and He is part of me. I abide in Him, and He abides in me. And so I'm not afraid when the clouds open up and He comes in His glory. I can rejoice for that day, and I can be excited to say, "Oh, come, Lord, come. Oh, Emmanuel." Let us thank Him today. And don't forget to thank Him every day. He will return for us, His people. You know, this may be, I see things happening right now, and He says, watch, when you see these things, know this day is coming. And I see the things happening right now, and I have to say, this could be the season. This could be the day. It's not to scare anybody, but it's that hope that we have as believers that Christ is coming, our Redeemer is coming, the one who saved you this morning, the one who gave you a new life this morning is coming again. He's coming for each and every one of us so that we can spend eternity with Him. Not just this short time in this mean old world that we live in here. So are you excited for Christmas this year to celebrate the Redeemer? Amen. I'm excited. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I come to You, Lord. Lord, and I... Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to rededicate their life to You, Lord, I just pray that You, Holy Spirit, just falls upon them here. Lord, I know there's many not here that wanted to be here this morning that couldn't because they're not feeling well, Lord. And I pray for You, for Your healing upon them, Lord. I pray for the ones that are on Zoom this morning, Lord, that You go right where they're at, and whether they're in their living rooms or no matter where they're at, Lord, that You go to them and fall upon them, Lord, and just bless them today. Lord, give us a new hope in You, this great, this blessed Redeemer that we serve, You are. So Lord, go with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.